Blog Talk Radio.
Go for it. Go for it. Hello, welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon. For the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinions. And if you have opinions, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Hope everybody had a great day today. I had a good day. Every day of being alive is a good day, and it's a great day. But let's get down to talking sports, what we like to do. All right. We got the NBA draft coming up tomorrow. A lot of players looking for the opportunity to make it big in the NBA. And a lot of players, quite frankly, who will get paid and who will be making some serious bread after tomorrow. And John Wall, I'd like to hit you up for a loan. Can a brother get $100,000? Evan Turner, can I get 25 G's? I mean, you guys, after tomorrow, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. But we'll be talking about the draft and the process of the draft. And we'll be talking about that with former Eagles tight end, Philadelphia Eagles tight end, and Carolina Panther tight end, Luther Broughton. He was an individual who went through the process, went through all the pre-draft stuff, all the poking, the prodding, all the questions that were asked to him by various GMs and scouts from throughout the league. So he's going to talk about the process and what went into it and how he felt about it and his mindset going into the draft and before the draft and finally his mindset after being drafted. So that should be interesting. It's good to get a perspective from an individual who's been there and done that, so to speak. So the draft is tomorrow. A lot of you, big Sixers fan, myself and a lot of other Sixers fans, looks like we're going to get Evan Turner tomorrow, which is a great pick, and as a pick I'm happy with for this team. He's a guy who fills a need. There's a need at the two-guard position. He fills that role. So hopefully the Sixers will do the right thing. Like I said on Monday, they'll do the right thing and get it done and draft this guy because he's a guy that they desperately, desperately, desperately need. And so we'll look forward to the Sixers making that draft selection. John Wall's probably going to go first to the Wizards. And from after number two, well, it's kind of up in the air. Been seeing some mock drafts. I've seen some people have a Wesley Johnson going to the Nets at three, or some have. I've seen favors there, and I've seen also DeMarcus Cousins. And speaking of DeMarcus Cousins, there's been a lot of talk about him. And I saw a little report on him yesterday. It was on ESPN. Interesting, going through the process. He's a guy who's going through the process, answering all the questions, going through all the workouts, all the stuff. I mean, just getting grilled pretty much by these GMs, scouts, coaches, and the like. So, and that's got to be tough for a young man. I mean, he's only 19 years old, and he's about to make that jump, that next jump and that next leap. And I also want to talk about today attitude and character, because in a lot of ways, it's funny. What do you value? Do you value talent? Or do you value character? I mean, I guess it comes down to if you're If you're looking for a mate, if you're looking for a woman, or if you're looking for a man, what do you value? You value looks, or do you value that mind? And yeah, obviously, we all would like to have a little bit of both, if possible. We all would like to have both. But in some cases, you don't get that. In some situations, I mean, look, let's use Pac-Man Jones for an example, a guy with tremendous talent, tremendous ability, as a guy who's a very great player, who was a very good player and had a lot of ability and a lot of talent, but he just didn't know how to act. And that was a problem. He was a guy who just didn't know how to act, unfortunately, and it was a problem for him. But, I mean, at the end of the day, if Pac-Man could stay on the field, more than likely we probably overlook all those things. And as long as he's producing, we overlook all those things. I mean, the thing about it, you look at Kobe Bryant, for example. A lot of people forget that he was he went through a situation of rape. He was accused of rape. A lot of people forget about all that. And it's, you know, and he made you forget by his play on the field, on the court, should I say. He made you forget those things. I mean, a lot of these players, they make you forget about these things by what they do on the field and on the court. Now, if they weren't doing these things on the field and on the court, then more than likely it would draw attention to them, and you would think about the stuff that they were doing, and they're on the off the field, off the court. You wouldn't focus on the things that they do on the court because you would be so jaded by the stuff they do off the court. But at the end of the day, if those guys, in reality, if you look at Kobe's situation, if you're producing on the court, people tend to forget about those off the court things. They tend to forget. As long as you're not getting suspended or missing any games, people tend to forget. So this NBA draft coming up, you're gonna have situations where, you know, some guys may be questionable character wise, and you know, so with that being said, teams are gonna have to make a decision. I mean, do I want to deal with this guy, who may have some questionable character issues, who may have questionable character? Do I want to deal with that guy? Or do I stay away from this guy because he is a little shady and he has a shady background and I can't trust whether or not he'll do the right things? I mean, there's some things that these GMs have to think about, and that's been a talk a lot with DeMarcus Cousins, and whether or not he's a guy that on the next level will be able to handle the things that come with being on the next level. I mean, he was a guy who did come into went to the combine at 291 with 16% body fat, which is not good, something he needs to work on. And then you look at his body, he's not an Adonis by any shape of imagination, but, you know, he is a guy who's proven that he's has some talent and has some ability. But there's been some off-the-court issues, and his attitude has been questioned. So team's going to have to make a decision. So the question I throw out to all you, what do you value? Do you value talent over character? Do you value character over talent? And then you can also think about it in terms of your relationships with women or men. What do you value? You value good looks over, okay, she's cute. She's got a little attitude, but she's cute. So I can deal with that. I can work through that. I can get through that because she's pretty. Now, if she wasn't so cute, I couldn't deal with it. But I can deal with it now because she's cute. I mean, is it that type of deal? Or is it something else? Or is it, okay, you know what? This girl's not all that cute, but you know what? She's got a great attitude, got a nice mind, intelligent, smart girl. I value that, and that's what I want to be with. That's who I want to be with. She'll be loyal to me, and she'll be somebody who will stick around with me till the end. I mean, so that's the questions. A lot of times that we have to ask ourselves, what do we value? And what do you value? Do you value character or do you value talent? What do you value? What are your values? What are your personal values? Character or talent? So let me know. The number's to call 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com/pecan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pecan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. We're expected to be joined by former Eagles tight end Luther Broughton any second now. He's going to give us some unique insight on what it's like to be drafted, what it's like to go through the process of being drafted. What is it like to go through all these things? What is it like? And that should be very interesting to get his insight on that. And because from the outside, man, it looks tough. It looks rough. It looks hard, man. And you, it's almost like you're just going through person to person, interview to interview, and they're just poking you and just waiting for you to they're waiting to see some type of negative tendencies on your part. I mean, these are the things they're looking for. They're looking for you to break on some level. So it's interesting to see and hear the process from an individual who has went through that particular process. So that should be interesting to get his insight on that. And also today, I mean, a lot of people are excited. I mean, I'm not a big soccer guy by no stretch of the imagination, but big soccer game today. U.S. got into the knockout round with their victory today over Algeria. They did it in the 91st minute. I guess it was extra time there. The soccer match is usually 90 minutes. They were given an extra 4 minutes of extra time, and they found a way to get a goal in the 91st minute. Landon Donovan got it done. So for all you soccer heads and you World Cup lovers, I hope you enjoyed that. I watched it, but it's soccer. It is what it is. But I respect those who enjoy the game. We are now being joined by former Eagles tight end Luther Broughton. Luther?
Hey, what's happening, man?
How are you, sir?
I'm good, good. I hear you talking soccer. You better give some shout-outs because our World Cup team has two, not one, but two Furman graduates on there, Clint Dempsey and Ricardo Perez. Give them a shout-out.
Well, shout-out to all the Furman guys out there, Furman in the house.
Let's give
a little love to Furman. Good luck.
Always.
To the U.S. team as they go into this knockout round. But Luther, yep. Tomorrow we got the NBA draft coming up, and you're a guy who's been through the process, obviously in a different league, the NFL. What was it like going through the process, like let's start with the scouting combines. What was that like?
Well, I'll tell you, my process was a different process. Like I said, I went to Furman. We didn't have a guy drafted for 13 years before me, so there were no scouts beating down my doors. I didn't even get an invite to the combine. So
okay.
my road to getting drafted involved me. I had a scout come to visit me from the Ravens. I believe his last name is McDonough. I can't remember his first name. He said, "Look, man, not that many people know about you. You can play in our league. There's not enough buzz about you because we didn't have, you guys haven't had that many guys. Go get permission from your coaches, make a highlight tape, and send it out to 31 teams, and you'll be amazed what happens. You won't have to be a free agent once they see more of you." I did that, and my phone was ringing off the hook the next few weeks, so I was happy to get that advice from him. But, yeah, I didn't get invited to the combine, but my workouts were really, I ran well. That's one thing about pre-draft. You can be an average guy in college. If you run great, somebody's going to draft you. So, I mean, I was a good player at NCAA level, and I ran really well, man. So,
now,
but it was nerve-wracking.
Now, in terms of the interview process, how was that? Talking to the various coaches and the various scouts.
Well, it's like I said before, it's nerve-wracking because I was a guy, small school. I didn't have that much exposure You know, I was always nervous when those guys came around. It wasn't like I was right up the street at 12 miles away at Clemson. They had exposure. They got exposed to these guys all the time. They saw scouts around every day, et cetera. So me, you know, it was a different process. I'm not really a nervous type of guy. I can handle the pressure, but it's a new experience, and you want to get everything right. You don't want to say the wrong answer, but you want to be natural, you know? And I just tried to be natural, get, like, this is me, this is who I am, and, you know, take it from there. It's your job to scout, not my job to try to lead you in one direction. This is me. I can play. So go from there.
Now, we heard about Dez Bryant's story where the Jeff Ireland, the Miami Dolphins GM, allegedly asked him if his mom was a prostitute. Were you asked any crazy questions like that? Or questions
I was never asked any questions like that. One thing, nobody was interested in using a first-round pick on a tight end out of Furman. So, you know, of course they're going to do more due diligence nowadays with the internet age. Everybody has a camera phone where you can get pictures out. They want to do – I'm sure they're doing just more checks nowadays with all the incidents with, like, the Adam Jones, Pac-Man Jones, et cetera. Even now, Ben Roethlisberger, they want to try to get into everybody's head. I never had a question like that. It was unfortunate with Dez. My brother played receiver at Oklahoma State with Dez, and I'm telling you from firsthand experience, well, secondhand experience directly from my brother, he said that guy never got into trouble. He said he was a cool kid, never in trouble, like humble, hard worker. My mom, you know, met him more than a few times, said the same thing. So he got a bum rap, man. Whatever happened with his parents or whatever when he was younger, they should applaud him for coming out of that. He came out of that situation. He's a stud in college, worked his butt off to become the top receiver in the draft. Yeah, he made a childish mistake by lying to the NCAAs about going to have dinner at Deion's house. But he's a kid. He was nervous. He didn't want to lose his eligibility. He probably thought he did something wrong, but he didn't. And everybody started talking about it. It started snowballing. He's this. He doesn't come to practice. He's this. And now I'm like, I called my brother. I said, Scott, how many times has Dez missed practice? He said, never. Like he said, he maybe was late once or twice coming from classes or whatever, but he was not one of those guys. So I took my brother's word.
Now, and with that story and with that situation, obviously the biggest pimp around is the NCAA. But, I mean, that's another story for another day. But if you want to talk about pimps and prostitutes, I mean, that's the NCAA as a whole in a lot of ways. But
let's save that for another day.
But in terms of that Dez Bryant situation, is any question off limits when it comes to? Because I look at it this way, I look at it this way. In today's NFL, where you got guys, let's look at Ben Roethlisberger for example. He's a guy who, again, he was accused of certain things, but he wasn't convicted of anything. Wasn't even charged for that matter. And right. he got 6 games. And he wasn't charged with anything. So in today's NFL, is it almost understandable for GMs and coaches to ask these type of questions because guys are missing time and they're hurting their teams because of their off-the-field conduct?
Well, tell you what, Paul, I kind of agree with your assessment there because they're going to invest millions of dollars into these guys, specifically the first rounders. That's probably why we're going to have a lockout. You can give a guy $60 million before he even puts on a uniform, and you want to know everything about him. You want to ask the tough questions. I say from an athlete's point of view, you got to prepare yourself for it. You know it's coming, so you just got to have thick skin. You need to have some respect. There's a fine line there, but you got to have some respect for the guy. And it's all according to the whole story, like the surrounding conversation. If I'm talking to you, Paul, and here's how the story supposedly came out. If I'm talking to you and I'm like, you know, what was your dad when you were young? You know, my dad was a hustler. He was pimping. What did your mom do? She worked for my dad. If you said, was your mom a prostitute? I'm not offended by that question because it fits in to the conversation. It flowed with the conversation. I kind of led you to think my dad's a pimp. My mom worked for my dad. Hey, that's your next question. That's one of the rumors I heard. That's how it came out. Nevertheless, how does that affect Dez right now? If his mom was whatever they're saying his mom was, that means at some point he ended up being the man of the house, taking care of his siblings, what have you. And now he went to college for 3 years, starred, never got in trouble. Does he even drink? Does the guy even drink? You know? And so I don't know. There's a fine line. I guess if you're holding all the cards, you have a right to ask the questions you want to ask. If you alienate a guy, then maybe you're not going to end up drafting him. You don't want to draft him. It could come back to haunt you down the line. Jeff Ireland was real apologetic, you know. Right. And, you know, you got to respect him coming back and being apologetic, saying that's the context of the question. But I can't really definitively say one or the other. I just say if it was me, you know, I got thick skin. I've got thick skin. That's the way it goes. Ask me whatever you want to ask me. I'm an open book. Pay me $20 million. You're not going to disrespect me, but right now I'm an open book. I know what you're trying to get.
And if somebody's going to offer me $20 million, you can ask just about any question you want. So, I mean, I understand that, but I can understand why he would be offended, but at the same time, you know, it's a big-time investment I'm doing here. This is a big investment. Again, I don't want to lose my job because I didn't do my job by asking you the pertinent questions.
Totally. I agree with you.
And that's kind of the way I look at it. Now, leading up to the draft, now, we're past all the workouts now. Now, we're going up to the draft. A few days away, let's say a week or two away. Where did you expect to go? Where did you expect to go?
When I was drafted, that was the 97 draft. It wasn't now like nowadays you have, what, 3-4 days? You were either a first or second day guy when you were talking about my draft. And they still say it in those terms. Yeah, he's a second day guy. Basically, the first day was the first three rounds. The second day was 4th through 7 in free agents. I knew I was a second day guy. You know, I had no illusions of grandeur. I knew I could play. I knew at some point, like, I was a second-day guy. I had some rumors that one or two teams were they thought I worked out really well. They thought I would be a great steal. Maybe if we have an extra pick early 4th or whatever, we might take a flyer on this guy. I even had a call on the first day from a coach from the Redskins. He was trying to convince his guys to take me 4th round. But I knew I was a second day guy, but you could go to 30 different teams. There are right. 30 different teams, about 30 teams drafting. You can go anywhere. I could get drafted by the Panthers and stay home. I can get drafted by Miami and go down to Miami, or I could get drafted by Seattle and end up in the Northwest. And I'm from South Carolina. I didn't know where I was going to be. I didn't know how high I was going to go. I didn't know, you know, if I was going to go somewhere and someone was going to try to switch me to, like, a fullback type position. I didn't know. So it's really nerve-wracking. And on top of that, I had friends in the draft, friends who got drafted on that first day. I was friends with Dexter McCleon from Clemson. He was, like, the second pick of the second round to the 49ers. Dexter Coakley, he's from Charleston area too, like myself. We played in the same conference. He was a first day pick for the Cowboys in the third round. Mike Hamilton. He went to North Carolina A&T. We worked out a little bit pre-draft. His brother went to college with me. He got drafted first day in the third round. So those guys are celebrating, and I'm happy for them. Now, I'm not sitting there envious, hating. I'm happy for them. Meanwhile, I still don't know where I'm going. I can't sleep. I remember going to a party that Dexter Coakley had in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina that night, and I was like, I'm like a zombie because I'm thinking, man, are the Redskins going to take me tomorrow? What's his name? Ron Wolf really liked me. Oh, I hope the Packers take me. They're really good. I can learn from Chimur or Jackson if he comes back. I'm nervous, man. And I ended up getting drafted by the Eagles. I was elated. I was happy. I had a really good workout with the Eagles. And long story, but I'll make it short. The reason the Eagles were even interested in working me out is because Jim Gruden, John Gruden's dad, was a scout for the Niners, and he saw me my freshman year. And he came back like my senior year. He talked to me. He said, "Son," he said, "kid, I remember seeing you your freshman year." He was like moving around out there like a receiver. Long arms, you hadn't filled in yet, and I knew you were going to come. I knew one day I was going to come back and scout you for whatever team I was working on. You can play in this league. He said, don't be alarmed. Don't get mad if you don't get drafted. You'll sign somewhere, and you'll play for 8-9 years. And I remember him telling me that. And they really liked Greg Clark, and they knew they were going to take Greg Clark that year. So he called his son, who John Gruden was the office coordinator at the Eagles, said, "You guys go work out this kid down at Furman. Probably the most athletic tight end in the draft, a little smallish for tight end, but just go work him out. I bet you'll like him." And they worked me out. You know, I could run back then. I could catch anything. I could move, you know. And if I wasn't at Furman, a lot of people would have known a lot more about me. Wasn't the tallest guy in the world. Remember, one of the Oilers scouts talked to me, and he made me almost break down and cry a little bit. He said, "Son, if you were an inch and a half, 2 inches taller, you'd go no less than pick 60. He was like, "I hate to say it to you, but your height is killing you, and you're probably the smoothest athlete at the position this year other than Tony Gonzalez." And I was like, wow, in a Tua Mealy, the guy from BYU. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, really? You know, really? I didn't know that, you know? I had confidence, but, man, those were huge words coming from someone who had scouted for years and years. So it was an experience going up to that process, going through that process. It was a fun experience for me, just a small school, high school guy, small college guy, and ended up, you know, playing in the show. So the preparation for the workouts, for the pre-draft workouts were so easy for me because our strength coach, who's at Clemson now still, Joey Batson, our workouts at Furman were the hardest workouts and toughest workouts that I've done in my whole football career, no matter what level, not even in the NFL. And everything we did for him were basically the drills that we had to do for the scouts. And I blistered those drills, man. And blistered those drills, caught everything, ran a good 40. And at that point, I'm like, look, I did all I can do. If I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. But I did what I needed to do. And
What was your 40 time back then?
The best time I ran for the scouts, I ran a high 4.6.
Okay.
They're really tough on the clock.
That's good for a tight end.
Yeah, and a couple my junior year in college, I ran sub 4.6. I ran 4.5 something, and that was the fastest I'd ever run. But I mean, for a tight end, you know, that's you know, I was putting it in, you know.
So now we're first day of the draft goes by. You didn't get picked. You didn't expect to get picked. So it was kind of something. It's what you expected. Now we move on to the second day. Now,
mm-hmm.
What's the mindset there? Are you putting together any type of parties? Are your parents throwing something?
No, I'm at my parents' house, man. My parents put together, like, we had this huge cookout. Like, everyone's excited. I'm the most uninterested person there because I'm still in zombie land. Like, man, I'm nervous. I'm really nervous. I hope I get drafted, and where am I going? And I'm sitting there, and I watch the fourth round. After watching the first three rounds, and I can't sleep, so I'm watching all the shows at night covering the first three rounds. The next day, 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, can't get here soon enough. I woke up after not sleeping most of the night. I finally get to sleep, and I wake up, and I'm hoping it's 11 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock. So I'm waiting, watching the clock tick, 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 rip. Oh, gosh. And finally, man, after watching everybody get drafted and Mel Kiper is here for another 4 hours, I get a call, and I hear everybody, like, yelling because apparently there are some highlights of me on ESPN. I'm in my room at this point and got a call, and it's Ray Rhodes. And man, I was so relieved. Like, I bet I didn't
former
even
Eagles
sound
coach.
Happy to him. Yeah, former Eagles coach Ray Rhodes. And I can tell you, I probably didn't even sound happy to him. I was just so relieved and so I was mentally exhausted. And he was like, he said, "Congratulations, you're an Eagle." And I was like, "Yes, finally." And you know, he talked for a little while. I don't remember anything he said because it was a blur at that point. I was in a haze. Juan Castillo got on the phone. He was the tight ends coach then. He's still the O-line coach, and he talked to me for a little while in his accent, man. He was like, "Oh, man, you should be excited. You're going to get up here. I'm going to work you hard. You're going to be the man." At this point, I'm like, dude, I hope I just make the team. I'm not worried about being the man at this point. So it was over. I was happy, man. Needless to say, I had to drive back to school that day because I still had classes. So me and my cousin played together at Furman. We drove back. We split the drive and just talked about stuff, man, how it was just like a dream come true for both of us, all of us. He was really happy for me.
Did you cry?
Man, no, I didn't cry. I'm not much of a crier. I'll tell you a secret, though. I guess it's not a secret anymore. I watched Million Dollar Baby, the movie, and I didn't know the cliffhanger. And luckily, I was watching it at home by myself. And when she broke her neck, I cried a little bit.
Well, you're being honest, and you have that's the softer side of Luther Brunt.
All right, now let's get back to the story. No, I didn't cry at all. I didn't cry. I don't even think, like, I, like, partied and had a drink or anything. We had classes the next day. I was driving 3 hours back to Furman, and I was just, like, you know, just ready, like, kind of scared, that nervous fear. Like, am I going to do well, man? These guys are so good in the league. And I just went back to Furman, went to classes, started back working out, and the rest, man, you know, I made it. I made the show, played for 5 years. Great experience. Great experience, man. I can't even say enough about it. A lot of people are like, man, you should have played longer. We thought you, you know, this, that, and other. I have no regrets. I wanted to play more. Yeah, I wanted to have more catches. Yeah. While you're playing, you think you should play more. But, man, I played 5 years in the league, and that's a lot more than a lot of people can say.
And we got to remember the average is about 3 years. The average is 3 years.
The average is 3 years, you know.
So you beat the average, and so, I mean, you made a little money, and now you moved on with your life. But, I mean, you had an opportunity, and you made the best of the opportunity, and you got there. And that's what these guys tomorrow, in terms of the NBA, that's what these guys – or they're probably dealing with a lot of the same stuff that you dealt with. Not like the John Walls or the Evan Turners of the world, but maybe the other guys, the lower round guys. They're the ones who are probably dealing with, okay,
right,
where
now
do I go? Where am I going to go? where am I going to go?
Right
who's
now,
gonna
but
pick
you know, you're going to have some stars from those lower rounds, which is that's the great thing about it. You have the guys who are supposed to be locks for superstars. Then you're going to get a guy at the bottom of the draft, like a Jordan Crawford or a cat like that, who's just going to get on the scene and blow it up. You know, like the guy from Pittsburgh last year, DeJuan Blair, second rounder.
He made the most of his opportunities.
Stud for the Spurs, you know? And
he
got drafted high.
Great situation. He was in a great situation with San Antonio.
Great
so that helped him a lot as well. Now let's get some random thoughts with Luther. Let's get some random thoughts. I mean let's NBA Finals quickly 30 seconds to get some random thoughts there.
NBA Finals, the Celtics choked it all away. I mean, Sugar Ray had one good game with the 8 3 pointers. If he could make two jump shots in the fourth quarter of the game, they win the game. They choked it away. Kobe didn't play his best basketball in game 7. They had a great opportunity with the league, and the Lakers won it. I mean, let's not take anything away from the Lakers. They won the game. Got that, 17th championship, 16th? So, hey, I'm not a huge Laker fan at all. I rooted for the Celtics because they have two guys, Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, who were South Carolina Players of the Year in high school. So that's why I rooted for them. Not a huge Celtics fan either, but hey,
likewise,
gotta give it to the Lakers. Yeah.
But I thought the Celtics would win that series. I did predict them to win it in 6. Obviously, I was wrong. And oh well.
Yeah.
But Kobe Jordan.
That's not even a discussion. I'm not gonna even answer that question. I mean, how soon? It bugs me how soon people forget that this guy put up 38 points a game, shooting 57% from the field when they were allowed to brutalize people. Can you imagine MJ playing with these touchy hand check foul calls? He'd average 50 a night without sweating. Not even a conversation. Let's move on to the next stop.
It's funny. I talked about that on the show. Unfortunately, we have individuals who are prisoners of the moment, and they fall in love with what they see on TV. You got SportsCenter, you got 24-hour sports, and sports channels and everything, sports radio, and people get excited, and they fall into the trap, unfortunately.
Paul, let me say something right quick. I'm going to cut you off. Ask those same people mid-season who was better out of LeBron and Kobe, and what would they say?
Exactly.
They'd say LeBron. They say LeBron. Now, at the end of the season, Kobe's good in the playoffs. They're going to say Kobe, and Kobe is comparable to Michael. Come on, let's just get off of it. He's not. No one is. It's going to be a while before we see that guy. I don't care what anybody says. You can't throw any stats, anything out there that's going to change my mind. How soon we forget. If Michael's dad didn't get killed, unfortunately, Michael would have been winning 8 straight championships. And would Jerry Krause have broken up that team after 8 straight? Nah. They would have been going for 10, potentially.
Exactly.
Whatever.
And I got two more. Lawrence Taylor.
LT, man, sad story, man. God, sad story. I mean, the whole story is a little fishy. Seems like a setup, all that. But needless to say, he's married. If you're going to be married, and I'm not condoning anything, I'm just giving LT a different scenario. LT, if you're going to be married and go to New York and you're going to creep on your wife, can you get a better escort service than little Ray Ray from the side of the street to bring
and
you
that's
a 16-year-old hooker? Are you kidding me?
And that's exactly the way that it sounds. And again, last time we talked to you, we had this discussion about Ben Roethlisberger and all these guys. Again, you are LT Lawrence Taylor. You should be able to take something home off your name.
Where you're from, but where you dominated, made your name, your king, LT. You could get something in New York. And if you can't, go find you a high-class escort service or something. Just don't go. Come on, dude.
And I'm not saying LT. I'm not saying LT would have got himself a dime, but he would have got himself a. We're talking at least 8-9. Come on, LT. I mean, you're
a
Hall of Famer.
Even if he didn't get himself a dime or 8-9, he could at least got a cougar where you know she's at least 35. Man, come on, dude.
Yeah, you're right, and it's sad.
Or go take a shower. That works too.
We'll go one more here. We know you're a big basketball fan. LeBron James, where does he go?
I don't know, man. I think he stays in Cleveland to finish off what he started. He's taken a lot of heat. I've said a lot of stuff about him, obviously, on my Facebook. Is LeBron an alpha dog? Is he an alpha dog, or does he need to play with an alpha dog? He's not like Jordan-type guy. He's more of a facilitator. You know, everybody wants everybody else to be the next Jordan. This, that. He's more of a combo with Magic and Pippen, I'd say. He's a great passer.
I think he can be the top guy on any team.
He can be.
I think he is. I mean, Let's look at it. I mean, if he's you roll the ball out there and he stays with Cleveland, they're winning 60 games. They've done it the past two seasons. Now, when it comes to the playoffs, I mean, it's a little questionable. LeBron didn't step up against the Celtics. I mean, obviously,
that's what I'm talking about, alpha dog.
That might be a byproduct of age and experience, but I do think, and I hope that LeBron does stay in Cleveland, because I do think at some point they will get over that hump, and I expected it to be this year, and I was a little surprised when it didn't happen. But I mean,
I was also, but I was really.
But if you look at it, if you look at it though, let's look at it. If you look at Boston's roster, I mean, that's probably the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Oh,
if you look at that roster,
fooled people because they were injured during the year, and everybody, you know, we were all fooled. They were injured, but they were healthy when it counted. The thing that bugs me is people blaming LeBron's teammates, the GMs, this, that, and the other. Yo, they won 60-something games with those same, quote-unquote, not good enough guys. You got a good enough guys and surround him by supposedly the man, the next Jordan. Can you not play like a chump in games 5 and 6 or games 4 and 6, whatever games he played like a chump?
Can you take your
6'8", 250, supreme athletic butt in the paint and post up? When we say post up LeBron, we don't mean get post position 18 feet from the basket, face up, and do a one-on-one move. Take somebody under the basket and just abuse them. You remember back when Jordan won those 6 championships? He was the best post player on the Bulls team. You need a layup, you put Michael in the post. Kobe gets in the
post. They got that beautiful turnaround jumper. They have that turnaround jumper.
Michael had the beautiful turnaround jumper in the second 3 championships. In the first 3, he is at the basket at will. I'm getting the ball in the post. I need one move, and I got a layup or foul shots. LeBron, get under the paint. Get in the paint. He starts from 30 feet out every single time. And with the Celtics team defense, come on. It's not happening. They are not allowing you to barrel down here.
And now, Luther, we need you to – your blog. Where's the blog? Tell everybody where they can see your thoughts.
My blog is LouKnowsItAll.com, but LouKnowsItAll.com has been sleeping. So Lou needs to get on his blog and pick up the pace. So I'm looking forward to getting back into my writing. I had a bit of a writer's block for a while. My daughter always supplied me with some ammunition. She's here for the summer, so let's hope she gives me some good starting material to get writing again. So I'm hopefully I know I promised I'd do one last week. I got really busy. Hopefully I'll get on it this weekend and get you guys some material to laugh at, man.
Ivan Luther, this is Luther Broughton, former Eagles tight end. Luther, we thank you for joining us again. We got to have
thank
you back.
Thank you for having me.
All right, take care, sir.
Have a good night.
You too. All right, that was Luther Broughton, former Eagles tight end. Took us through the steps, what it's like to go through the process of being drafted. And it wasn't very interesting, and a lot of these guys are going through that as we speak. So, I mean, let me know what you think about what you heard from Luther Broughton. The number's call 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. So, about 15 minutes left in the show. NBA draft is tomorrow, and as Luther pointed out, he was an insomniac. He was an insomniac leading up to the draft. The man barely slept, and he just had so much on his mind. It's understandable. And I think that's what a lot of these guys are going through, especially some of these guys who, let's look at DeMarcus Cousins, who is 19, 20 years old. So he's definitely, it's got to be hard. It's definitely got to be hard for a guy like him going through this process. So, I mean, you think about that, and you think about all these other things, and, man, it's got to be tough. It's definitely got to be tough. We're expected to be joined by St. Peter's assistant coach Marlon Guild, and Marlon's going to talk about the character side of things in terms of recruiting and character. Now, what do you look for? You obviously look for talent, but also are you looking for character more so than talent? I mean, what are the things that you are looking for as a coach, as a general manager, as a recruiter for that matter? I mean, essentially, as an assistant coach for a ball club, as a college ball club, you are essentially like a GM in a lot of ways. You're recruiting, and you're deciding if this talent will work for what you're trying to do with your team. So, I mean, it should be interesting to get his insight on it. Marlon.
Yeah, what's going on, Paul?
How are you, sir? We're joined here by Marlon Guild, St. Peter's College assistant basketball coach. Now, Marlon, let's get into this quickly. In terms of everything, Marlon, now we in terms of what are you looking for when you're looking for a player to join your team? Are you looking for character? Are you looking for talent? What is that thing that you're looking for?
I think it's a little bit of both, man. Obviously, you're looking for the talent because you want to keep your job. But at the same time, you want somebody with character. You know, guys that have character will end up taking you further. You know, I look at some guys that we passed on, you know, that big-time talent but didn't have the character that we were looking for. And, you know, they ended up going to other schools. And, you know, the thing that we figured out would happen ended up happening. And these guys are no longer at those institutions. So, you know, character definitely goes a long way. Sometimes you don't get that combination. It's just the business that we're in. But if you can definitely find that, you got to capitalize on it and take advantage of it.
And now with the NBA draft less than 24 hours away, a lot of these players and a lot of these GMs are dealing with some of those situations now. Where do I go here? I mean, we'll use DeMarcus Cousins as an example. He's a guy, tremendous talent, a lot of ability, but there's some question marks in terms of character there. Now, if you're a GM, Would you take a guy like DeMarcus Cousins if you had the opportunity?
I'd have to thoroughly check his background. You know, I think the biggest knock on him, I mean, if you look at his size, you know, he looks like an intimidating guy. Unless you know him personally, you can't really tell. You're going off by what you hear. and a little bit of what you see. And I think if you watched him last year at Kentucky, you know, with Calipari getting on him, you know, at first, was it a little bit of a shock to DeMarcus Cousins? Sure. You know, you look at these guys that, you know, these lottery pick guys, you got to think like they've been pampered, you know, from an early age. So whatever
right.
they say, you know, whatever they say, they're used to getting everything they want. And,
right.
you know, now as you move on and go on to higher levels, that changes somewhat. And I think, you know, at the beginning of the year, you know, DeMarcus Cousins probably fell into that category of, you know, being a, you know, quote-unquote high-maintenance guy. I don't know him personally. It might be different on the inside, but I think, you know, everybody's judging him on what they hear. Nobody knows the kid for sure, so how can you really say if he's a bad character guy? I'll tell you what, if everybody has that perception of him and he goes up and blows up in the NBA next year, there'll be a lot of guys losing their job.
Right, and then that's a very good point, because at the end of the day, it's all about finding talent and then getting the best talent on the floor. And there's a good chance that it could work out for him, but there also is a good chance that it may – I don't say good chance, but there's a chance that it may not work out for him in terms
mm-hmm.
of him being successful in the league. One of the problems or one of the things I see with him is just looking at his body, he looks a little soft.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he reported he went to the combine and he was around 290 and they measured him with 16% body fat.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know if that's let's look at it. Let's look at it. If you look at a combine situation, it's almost like a job interview. It's almost, in some respect, it's like if you're coming to the combines 290 pounds, it's almost like coming to a job interview with a wife beater and some shorts.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
I would agree with you there, but it's almost like, you know, what I compare it to is, you know, some guys are, you know, practice guys. And some guys work better in game situations. So you really don't know how it's gonna be. You know, in individual workouts, you know, he might be a quote unquote chill guy, and once the lights
right.
come on, you know, he turns it up. Now is that, you know, that's very unfortunate. You would hope a guy can turn it on at all times, but you know that's just how some guys are. You know, is DeMarcus Cousins that guy? I'm not too sure, but I think you take a chance on him because his potential is so great. And like I said before, somebody's going to miss the boat on him. You know, if he pans out, a lot of guys would be shaking their head. But it's funny that you talk about him. I just had a conversation with a guy yesterday, and he was telling me, you know what, with DeMarcus Cousins, I can see him turning into an Eddie Griffin situation. And you hope that it doesn't end that way.
No, that's Eddie Griffin's a very tragic story, very tragic situation, and you hope that he doesn't turn into that. But, I mean, for individuals saying that, those type of things, it has you thinking or at least questioning what could and what may happen with him.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the draft – Is John Wall the best player in this draft? I mean, you watch a lot of college basketball.
I'm going to say, you know, for right now, he is. And, you know, going back to the discussion I had with a friend of mine yesterday, I'll tell you somebody that I'm real high on. I'm high on Eric Bledsoe. And hopefully he makes me look good. I think Eric Bledsoe, when it's all said and done, might end up being better than John Wall.
Now, according to NBADraft.net, they have him going 19 to Boston, and they compared him to a Keon Dooling, Marcus Banks type of player. That a fair comparison, or is that?
I'm gonna say no and yes. You know, I'd say he might be a little bigger body-wise than Keon Dooling. I think Keon Dooling was probably taller. And I think he's more cut up than Marcus Banks. Marcus Banks had a little bit of definition to his upper body, but if you watch Eric Bledsoe, you know, his body is it almost looks like a sculpture. And I honestly think if he would have been anywhere else in the country at any other school, you know, people would be praising him the same way they praised John Wall. He kind of took a back seat to John Wall, which is fine. You know, that's not a problem. Somebody had to do it. But I think, you know, he's just as good, you know, as John Wall is. I think he shoots it better than John Wall. You know, John might be a little longer, but I just think when it's all said and done, you know, a lot of people will be saying, you know what, Eric Bledsoe is not a slouch. He's not as bad as, you know, people might think he is because he played with John Wall.
All right, so is that your sleeper pick for this draft?
That's one. I have two. He's one of them, and the big kid from Baylor, Udo, the big kid Udo from Baylor, I think.
Okay.
He can end up like a Marcus Camby, you know, barring the injuries. You know, a little better offensive game than Marcus Camby had, you know, jump shot wise. And I think he can block shots like nobody's business.
All right. Well, so we got a couple guys here, but this is a guy, Marlon Guild, who's wrote for Rivals.com. He's a guy who's done some things for Dime Magazine. He's a guy who was an assistant coach for St. Peter's. So he knows some things. So those are his steals. So listen here. You heard it here first. Eric Bledsoe will be a stud on the next level. And the kid from Baylor will be a stud on the next level, UDAL. So we got to hear from Marlon. Marlon, we thank you for joining us here tonight. We got
no
to
problem.
Bring you back, sir.
Thanks for having me, man.
Definitely got to bring you back. And we'll talk some more hoops.
Anything
you want to promote in terms of your basketball team?
No, you know, just look out for us next year, man. We're slowly making strides out here in Jersey City. You know, and the best is yet to come.
Well, you have it right there. Marlon Guild, St. Peter's basketball assistant coach. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, no problem.
Bye-bye.
All right. About 2 minutes left in the show. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank Marlon Guild, St. Peter's basketball assistant coach. We also want to thank Luther Broughton, former Eagles coach. Luther did a great job of taking us through the process of the being drafted. And it was great insight there by Luther. And his blog is LouKnowsItAll.com, LouKnowsItAll.com, so make sure you check that out. He's a guy with some insight. He's a guy who has lots of thoughts. I mean, I've seen him on his Facebook page. There's a lot of interesting thoughts. So read it. And something you probably will enjoy. So, I mean, like I said, NBA draft tomorrow. Should be an interesting draft. See what happens. I mean, more than likely, like I said before, I said it on Monday's show, Sixers probably will take Evan Turner. And I hope that should be an upgrade at the two-guard position. And it should be interesting to see what happens from there. Also, in the world of the NBA, Phil Jackson, Lakers head coach, is said to be leaning towards retirement. We'll see what happens. I mean, his daughter apparently told SI.com that he is done and that he will retire. We'll see what happens. I mean, you like to see Phil come back and see if he can get another three-peat. But we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, it should be interesting. Also, Chris Paul, there's been reports that he's being shopped by the New Orleans Hornets. Paul came out today, and, you know, he says he wants to stay in New Orleans, but if New Orleans is not trying to be a contender or not going to do the things necessary to be a contender, then he's open to being traded. So we'll see. There's been talks about him going to the Nets and a few other teams, but we'll see what happens. Also the Grizzlies, but we'll see what happens there. I mean, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. And if you can't afford to keep Chris Paul, then you don't need to have basketball in New Orleans, and you don't need to own a team, because he's the best player on that team, and he is the face of that particular franchise. So we got another 20 seconds left. Thank everybody who joined in. Thank everybody who called. Thank everybody who listened. Go for it, blogtalkradio.com. Make sure you go to blogtalkradio.com/begin to listen to some older shows and listen to this show. Hope everybody had a great day. Hope you have a great night. Take care. Peace. Bye.